Okay, take your Bible, our textbook, and let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, as we talk about the general theme, whatever Christian ought to know, and then today, whatever Christian ought to know about faith and how to have it. Sometimes it's a problem with us that we don't have the kind of faith we should have. Romans chapter 10, and as our opening verses, we'll read from there through verse 17, Romans chapter 10. Verse 11 says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." That takes faith, believing. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm glad that's in the Bible, aren't you? "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" That takes faith. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed your report?" Then verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith is an important element in our Christian belief. It's something that we must exercise all the time in order to be close to the Lord. If you were dropping two letters in a post office, and one of them was on expensive stationery, and it was typed just beautifully, everything was done exactly right, and the language was elegant, but if it didn't have a stamp on it, it's not going to go anywhere. Somebody might write one, just handwritten and not elegant in any way, and just a regular piece of paper, stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and it's going to go. Which one's going to go? The one with the stamp on it. And faith is the stamp that we need, and it's not the eloquence in our prayers. It's not the form of our prayers, whether you read it or whatever. It's not that at all, but it gets delivered by faith. Our prayers are delivered by faith. We've got to have that stamp. Pray, believe, and you'll receive. Pray in doubt, and you'll do without. So pray and believe, and you will receive. Pray in doubt, and you will do without. The measurement that's going to measure what you'll accomplish in your life is faith. How much faith you have will determine your accomplishments. Matthew 9:29 says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." That's very plain, very simple. According to your faith, be it unto you. Not according to your fame, not according to your feeling, not according to your fortune, not according to your friend, not according to your fate, but according to your faith, be it unto you. We have to exercise faith. Faith is the medium of exchange. The medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. If you go to the grocery store, you better have the medium of exchange. Some plastic, or you ought to have some money. And that's your medium of exchange to get what you want to get at the grocery store. But we receive things from God, how? By faith. That's our money. That's our medium of exchange when we go to the Lord. Faith is heaven's medium of exchange. It's the greatest asset we have, but unbelief, and it's so easy to have that, is the greatest stumbling block. Unbelief is a terrible stumbling block. And so we have some illustrations in the Bible of that. Eve went against God in the Garden of Eden. She didn't have faith in his word, did she? She didn't believe what he said. And you and I have aches and pains this morning because of that. Because she didn't do what God told her to do, and neither did Adam. But it was their unbelief that caused that. And And one occasion it tied the hands of Jesus. He was in his own hometown. And he could do no great works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't believe him, and he was not able to do what he wanted to do in that situation. So what is the sin? What is the sin that sends people to hell? What is that sin? The sin that sends people to hell. Is it lying or murder or rape or sexual perversion or pride or arrogance? These don't send people to hell. It's unbelief that sends people to hell. All of these things should be forgiven if we believe. All of that can be forgiven. But we have to believe. And the Bible says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed. John 3:18, because he hadn't believed. Anybody that hadn't believed in Christ as their Savior is under condemnation. It's unbelief that shuts the door to heaven so people cannot go. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. We have to believe, and that gets into the spiritual realm. In the book of Romans, the Bible says, the just shall live by what? Faith. By faith. The justified shall live by faith. And so we have to do that. We live physically by breathing, and we take nourishment and food into our bodies, but we have a choice of not breathing or not eating if we want to do that. And we have a choice of not exercising faith if we want to do that. But we need to exercise faith. Now, think about everything that comes to us because of faith. Just think about all the things that come to us because of faith. And we'll get to your outline in a minute, so I'm still on track, in case you're wondering. But all that comes to us by faith. First of all, salvation. You can't be saved without faith. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. And then the fullness of the Spirit, the filling, the fullness of the Spirit, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Galatians 3:14. If we're going to have victory over the world, it's through faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Born again. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith, trusting God. Victory over Satan. Above all things, take the shield of what? Faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16. And then faith gives us our sanctification. Those who are sanctified by faith in me. Acts 26:18. It's all faith. Now, those are the good things, but think of all the bad things that come because we don't exercise faith. There's some bad things that come to your life when you don't exercise faith. Number one is, we'll mention, is worry. Anybody here worrying today? Don't raise your hand, because I know some of you are. God, I don't think you can handle this. God can handle it. And then loneliness. God seems far away, but God really isn't far away. And by faith, we have to understand he's right with us. The Bible even says that Christ is like a husband to the widow ladies. We have to have faith. And then guilt. Because we don't have faith, we try to hang on to our guilt and punish ourselves the rest of our lives because of our past. And we don't understand that when we get saved, God cleanses us from our past. He remembers our sin against us no more. And so we have guilt if we don't have faith and trust in Christ's cleansing. Disobedience comes. If I truly believe God's word, I'm not going to violate God's word. If I believe God says, thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not lie, or thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, or whatever, I'm going to believe God's word and obey it by faith because I believe it's God's word. Now, let's get into our general outline, some of the factors that are going to help build a vibrant, good, strong faith. And in your outline, the reality of biblical faith. The reality of biblical faith. Romans 10:11 says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And I'm translating loosely on some of this for time's sake and all, not going to the references, but whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, keep this in mind. Faith has to have the right object. It's very important that we understand that in order for it to be real faith. Sometimes we say, well, we've heard people say, just have faith, only believe. Well, that's not really the case. It's good to have faith, but just to have faith and only believe, when a person says they just have faith, the thing we ought to ask is, faith in what? Faith for faith's sake is nothing, but we have to have faith in something. And they'll say, only believe. Only believe what? It's what you believe that's important. So in faith alone, there's really no great power in faith alone. There's nothing mystical about it. There's nothing magical about it. Your faith is no better than the object. The object, of course, is God. Misplaced faith is a dangerous faith. It's not faith that moves mountains. Who moves the mountains? God does. You got to have faith in God and His Word and what He promises, but God's the one that does it. We have to have faith in the right object, the right person. And the Bible says in Mark 11:22, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God, the Father. Now, some people think that faith is like positive thinking. The power of positive thinking. Faith is not positive thinking. Now, it's all right to think positively, and we ought to think as positively as we can. There's nothing wrong with that. But many people think there's something mystical and magical about it by only believing just those two words. But the biblical faith in Romans 10:11 is that we are to believe on Him. And so our faith is no better than our object. Faith in what? Faith in whom? And we have to believe on Him. Positive thinking can be discouraging, because sometimes you're not going to think positively. You get up feeling bad and sick, and a lot of other circumstances come in your life. You don't really think too positively, and it'll let you down. Reminds me of the story I read about the little boy. And he went to his dad, and he said, Dad, I think I flunked my math test today. And his dad said, son, you don't need to say that. That's negative thinking. You've got to be positive, son. The little boy replied, I'm positive I failed the math test. So he's being positive in that way. We need more than positive thinking, don't we? More than positive thinking. Don't put your faith in faith. And I think you can understand what we're saying. The devil will come up to you and he'll say this, something like this, you're not good enough to be saved. And you might say, well, I know it, but I don't have any faith in myself, and I'm not being saved. The devil will say they're hypocrites in the church, and you'll say, but I'm not putting faith in hypocrites. I'm trusting the Lord. And the devil will say, well, you don't feel like you should, and he'll say that your feelings are getting away with you, and then you say, well, I'm not trusting my feelings. But he'll say, you say you're trusting the Lord, but how do you know that you have enough faith? Is the faith that you exercise when you trusted in the Lord enough faith? Some got saved later in life. Some were real young, maybe 5, 6. I was 9 when I received Christ as my Savior. But when we're trusting in the Lord, it doesn't take a lot of faith to be born again, to be saved. It has to be the faith in the right thing, the right person. But the devil will try to pull those stunts on us, and you just tell him, look, devil, I'm not putting my faith in faith. My faith is in Jesus Christ, and totally in Jesus Christ and His finished work. So the least amount of faith in the right object Listen to this statement. The least amount of faith in the right object is better than strong faith in the wrong object. So we have to believe in Jesus Christ. And God honors weak faith, doesn't he? The Bible says he does, that he honors weak faith. And so we have to accept what he says about it. If he didn't, most of us wouldn't have anything from him, because sometimes our faith is rather weak, but we still exercise faith. In Mark 9, there's a story about a man. He brought his little demon possessed boy to the Lord, and he said this: Lord, if you will, you can heal my boy. If you will, you can heal my boy. And here's what Jesus replied: if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And what does the Bible say happened? Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In essence, he was saying, I don't have a whole lot of belief, a total deep belief, but I do believe, so help my unbelief. He had a weak faith, but it was weak faith in God. It was weak faith in what God could do. Now, I'm not saying we ought to have weak faith. We ought to have as strong a faith as we can. But I'm saying that God honors that. Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a mustard seed, as a grain of mustard seed, that's pretty small, about the smallest grain you can find in the world, a mustard seed. And God says, if you have that much faith, you can say to this mountain, get out of here, move the mountain, whatever that, that implies a strong problem area, a strong situation where you really, really need help. It's like a mountain to you, and it will be moved. Matthew 17:20. What was he saying? What he was saying was the least amount of faith. The least amount of faith is greater than the greatest amount of difficulty. Whatever the difficulty is, if you've got some faith, exercise that faith, and it's greater than the difficulty. If it's faith in the right thing, it has to be faith in God. If you want to cross a bridge, you don't know whether it's going to hold you up or not, and you think that it might not, and you might be afraid and all of that, and you'll get enough courage to go over that bridge. That's sort of silly, isn't it? Sort of ridiculous, really, when you think of it, because it's made out of steel and concrete, and you see 18-wheelers go over it, and yet you would be nervous to cross that. And we just have to look at the bridge. And so when you see the bridge and understand what the bridge can do, then you're going across the bridge. And so it is with faith. It's more than positive feelings. It's knowing that God is able to take care of it. And when you see that, you know God will honor the faith that you have. And so there's another story about a man who is going to cross some ice, and he's not real sure about the ice, and he's going across from one side of the river to the other side. I've seen the Ohio River just totally just totally covered in ice. This man going across, and he's worried about it a little bit. Is it going to hold me up, and what's going to happen? And so he gets about halfway across, and then after he gets about halfway across, he gets scared and nervous, and he thinks, I better get on my knees, and I get on my all fours and start back the other way. And then he gets on his belly and says, I better spread out. And all of a sudden he hears a crackling noise, and he thinks, sure enough, this ice is going to break up and I'm going to drown. But he turns and finds out it's a man with a wagon full of logs crossing that river right by him, and he realizes, oh, if it'll hold him up, it'll hold me up, and he goes on across the river. But we need to have faith in God and know that what God has done, what God's able to do, God will take care of it, and that's what's very important. So you want to have strong faith, don't try to make yourself believe, just get to know God. And when you know God, like you know God, this man who crossed that river knew the river. He knew what the ice was, and he crossed and didn't have any problems. But if we know God, then we'll be like the psalmist said in 9:10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. not other people, not yourself. Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God shall be strong. They'll have great feats and carry out great exploits, those who have their faith in God. So your faith is no better than the object. You need to place it in God, on God, and you need to know God intimately. And then secondly, the root of biblical faith, the root of it. All true biblical faith, I mean real faith, is rooted not only in knowing God, but in hearing from God, the God that you know. Romans 10:14, again, part of what we had already shared with you, and the scripture says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That makes sense, doesn't it? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? They've never heard of God, never heard of Jesus, and don't know. And then how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. Now, we drop down to verse 17, and it says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So basically, in order to have faith, we need to hear the Word of God. In order to have faith, we need to hear what God says about it. You can't know the will of God by guessing at it. It's hard to guess at the will of God. And so this verse says that faith comes from God. You don't generate it. It comes from God. God gives faith. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, the belief on Christ is granted to you. It comes from God. God gives us the faith to believe. And we know that. And how does God enable you to believe? How is it that he gives us this ability to believe? Well, God gives a word. In his word, God gives us his promises. That's how he enables us to do that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by what? The word of God. And that takes away this name it and claim it deal. And you want it, you've got it. Believe it and you'll receive it. And it's anything you want. No, it has to be in accordance to the will of God. You can't just get out there and name it and claim it. You have to, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. We believe God and it becomes evidence, but we believe what God says. Today, when we use the word hope, we're thinking maybe, perhaps, we hope it'll be that way, but that's not what the word hope means in the Bible sense. Hope in the Bible means bedrock assurance. Knowing that we have these things that are coming based upon the promises of God. In other words, it's a word of anticipation. I am anticipating the result of what God said. Jesus said he's coming again. I believe it. That's the blessed hope that Titus talks about. I'm looking for it. I'm anticipating the coming of Jesus again. It's the blessed assurance that we have. And so how do we know? We know he's coming. How do we know that? Because he said he was. And so I base my faith and hope upon the word of God. Now, how does God communicate his word to us? I've got to hurry. You really can't have faith unless God speaks. How does God speak? Well, he speaks through, and let me just abbreviate this. The first word in the Bible is the word logos. And that is the Bible, primarily the Word of God and the revelation of Jesus that God gave us. And then another word is a word that we may not be familiar with. It's called Rhema. R-H-E-M-A is the way we would spell it. And it means the spoken Word of God, the speaking of the Word. So we have the Word speaking about the Word. The Word of God is before us, and as we read it, God speaks to us, and so we hear, as it were, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and God communicates. For instance, a preacher is just a mailman. That's what a preacher is. He's a mailman. He delivers a letter, but who delivers the message? God does. I've always been amazed that sometimes when I'd preach and I'd go to the back, shake hands with people, and they'd come by and say, you know, God spoke to me in that message, and he told me right then. I'm thinking, I didn't even touch that. I didn't even have that in my brain or outline. But God did, and God used it to meet their need. And I'm just the mailman, and God gives results, and God speaks, primarily when you're reading the Bible. And then the result of biblical faith, and we'll just have to touch on these. What's the result of the purpose of faith? What does biblical faith do? Faith is not getting man's will in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. It's not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. The result of faith is the will of God, and we should want the will of God. You've heard of King Midas in the Midas touch, and he wished that everything he touched would turn into gold. And he wanted to be wealthy, he wanted to be rich. And so, sure enough, when he got ready to eat, his food turned into gold. That didn't help him much. And he got ready to kiss his daughter, she turned into gold, and that didn't help him much. And all of that. So what he thought would be a blessing became a curse. And you can't just say, I can believe and have whatever I want. That'll make a mess out of things. We've got to believe biblical faith, what God says. So what is the reality of faith? It is faith in God. What is the root of faith? You hear from God. What is the result of faith? The result of faith is that God's will is done. And then, lastly, the release of biblical faith. How do you release that faith? What do you do? How does it get down in your heart, your private life, your personal experience? True faith does more than just believe. And there's another step involved in it, and that is true faith obeys God. True faith obeys God. We believe him, we hear him, we hear what he says, and then we obey God. If what you say you believe is not translated into action. You say you believe it, but if it's not translated into action, then the thing that we can only conclude is you really don't believe it. Because if you believe it, you'll translate it into action. And so the word believe actually comes from an old English word that is read like this, by live. Or we could say live by. That's where the word believe comes from, by live. What we believe, we live by, and faith is the belief, someone has said it this way, with legs on it. Faith is the belief, and you put legs on it. And if I can't believe, then it's not my fault, somebody would say. It's God's fault because he didn't give me faith, and that's not correct. Right before Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They haven't obeyed the gospel. They heard, but they didn't obey. And there's a problem with us even today, not only in the gospel, but why didn't they obey? Why didn't they believe? And God gives us a clue of that in verse 21 in that same context. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to the disobedient and contrary people. Verse 21. God is saying, I've reached out, I've offered you my hand, but you said no, and you would not take my hand, you would not believe, and so you have to face the consequences. So God is speaking, but not everybody is going to obey God. There are lost people who come in our church services, and they hear how to be saved, they know they need to be saved, they walk out the door and don't get saved. They have a choice, but they hear the word of God, they know what he says, and God speaks, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, what he's telling you is true, but they paraded and passed judgment, the judgment bar of their mind, and they say, I just don't think I believe that, and I'm not going to accept it right now. You see, we have to release biblical faith and believe it, and then it needs to be translated into action. So You can believe if you want to. It's up to you. Unbelief never comes out of the head. Where does it come from? The heart, the Bible says. It's the heart. So, Hebrews 3:12, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. And that's a perfect description of a heart that doesn't believe. Faith is a gift of God. So is breathing, but you can choose to stop. And the air God gives for your lungs, you can smother yourself if you want to. But God gives it. So here's the closing out of it. Just sort of summarize it and some practical advice. Be saturated with the scriptures. That should be on the bottom of your outline there. Remember that faith cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. So be saturated with the scripture. And then secondly, be dedicated to the Savior. Be dedicated to the Savior. Savior, remember that faith is no better than its object. Be dedicated to the Savior. It's not so much a great faith in God as it is faith in a great God, knowing God's power. And then be separated from sin. Be separated from sin. Unconfessed sin is a faith killer. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, it'll kill your faith. Don't be disobedient to God and expect God to honor your faith or for you to have faith. And Romans 10:21 again verifies that. If you're having difficulty with faith and you have sin, try repentance, and then your faith will be boosted. And then be activated by the Spirit. Be activated by the Holy Spirit. Remember the old song, and we still sing it around here, trust and obey. And that's a good song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's what we're to do. Trust and obey the gospel and be saved. And then, as believers, have faith in the right thing and act on it and have faith in Christ and do these things that help us out. And then God will honor our faith. And with faith, we can accomplish a lot of things. And we can say to those mountains, get out of my life and remove. And it's all done by faith. Saved by faith. And we should live by faith. And we ought to have as strong a faith as we can. But God will even honor a weak faith. But it has to be in Him, in His Word, and His will for us to do. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the instruction about how we are to have faith and what we're to do with it, how we can get more faith and exercise that faith and see you work in our lives. Help us to search our hearts always to see if there's sin in our lives, and if so, get rid of it so that faith can be honored. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.